Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
We're doing a message series called Spirits of Strength Training, and I came across a survey. Somebody shared the results of a survey on social media this past week, and it was a Canadian survey about religious belief. And one of the conclusions that some people reacted with shock and surprise to was that over half of Canadians today would self-identify as agnostic or atheist. And I was surprised at their surprise. I'm thinking, like, where do you live? Like, don't you know what's going on in our culture? People that there's a lot of people that might even profess belief in God because they grew up with it and they don't really hold it, but it's just kind of how they identify. And more and more people are coming to the conclusion that they don't believe this. And for too long, as Christians in the Western world, we've relied on having the majority, or at least the majority voice in our culture. And there's a downside to that, is that because we've relied on that, we haven't relied on the power of God and the purposes and agendas of God to further his kingdom, because we take it for granted. And so as much as we may go, oh, this is a bad thing, at least we can see reality now and point ourselves in the right direction. And you can't legislate the kingdom of God into being. It happens because when you do that, that happens at the expense of the character of Jesus, his humility, his love, and so on. And so to that end, it's partly because of that we're doing this series, Spiritual Strength Training, because we are all called to participate in God's purpose for the world, for ourselves and for the world. As a little bit of an interruption, we do have our access point at Crosslands Church that I want to highlight. It's called Crosslands.live. You can plug Crosslands.live into any of your browsers or whatever, and there's, you can connect with us, you can sign up for our email newsletters, you can find out what's going on, the events, the announcements. If you miss the announcements on a Sunday morning, or even things that aren't announced, they will be there. There's giving options there. We don't take up an offering in the service, but you can find out there how you can give, or even give through the app. And we also have, for Sunday mornings, there's a book called Sunday Morning, and it's message notes for there. There's the relevant scripture verse, and there's application questions. How can I engage this more fully on a day-to-day basis with a small group or friend or whatever? And if we have time at the end, which I don't know that we will entertain text messages. If you have a comment or question relevant to the message today, my number's at the top of the screen. You can text me. We had all the brilliant ones this morning. We didn't have any this morning in the first service, so let's see if you guys can beat those. And if we don't have time, then I'll respond to them individually. I also want to highlight next steps. We're all on a spiritual journey, and we should be moving forward in that. And today I want to highlight the opportunity to volunteer to serve. We have all been gifted by God with abilities, talents, and character bents and interests. And it's not for you. It's for you to live that out towards God's purposes. You were not made to work 9 to 5, pull in a paycheck, and that's it. You were made to give of yourself according to how God has gifted you and given you interests. And when you do that, you find life to be more full and joyful and meaningful. Not that it's always easy, but there's something that you were crafted to do that only you can do better than anybody else. And if you're looking for opportunities, the PA Day camp was announced on Friday, and Alpha, they're always looking for more volunteers for that, but there may be something completely different. And if you're looking for those opportunities on crosslands.live, you can click volunteer to serve, and if there's nothing like ready-made for like a place for you to fill in, we might be able to help you find something completely new and different. So I would encourage you to check that out. Now, I want to recap before we jump into the message. We started this message series 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, the message was entitled Ready, Willing, and Able, and the gist of it is that in North America, we are under threat. Christianity is, this whole journey of following Jesus is increasingly socially unacceptable. We have religious freedom, but it can be hard, certainly in certain arenas, to even profess faith in Jesus, because it's a joke to people, or it's seen even as a threat to them. And so we need to be spiritually strong because of that. Last week we talked about the true battle. Okay, other people are never the enemy. There is something spiritual going on behind the scenes, and to that end, we need to be praying to win the battle before it ever happens in the physical realm. Today we're talking, the message is entitled Properly Sustained, and I want to start with a story. You may have heard it before, hopefully you haven't. There's a guy who was traveling on his way back to Toronto, and he was out in another city somewhere. He's in an airport, and it's a really good thing before you get on the plane to hit the bathroom before you get on, because the bathroom in the plane sucks. That's not a good experience. And so he goes into the public bathroom. I don't know if you know this. Half of you would probably know this. In a men's bathroom, you don't talk. It's completely socially unacceptable. It's uncomfortable. You don't do it. No eye contact, eyes front. You go do the thing. So he walks in, heads towards the stall. First one's taken. He hits the next one. He's getting ready, sits down to do his business. And the guy in the stall next to him says, "Hey, how's it going?" Awkward, awkward silence. He goes, "I don't know what to do. It's going okay, I guess." I says, "What are you doing?" "This should be obvious." So he says, I'm flying back to Toronto. And the guy next door says, "Hey, listen, I need to call you back, because every time I ask you a question, the idiot in the stall next door keeps answering me." See, and this is the problem when you hear one half of a conversation, right? Now, we've been looking at the book of Colossians. It's a letter. It's one half of a conversation. And so I've broken the rules, because you're supposed to do this the first Sunday, but today I'm going to give you a little bit of a background. There's some interesting stuff in there, and I hope it catches your interest enough, because let's find out what part of that half the conversation is. So Paul is writing to this city, or Christians in a city called Colossae, which is why the people live there are called Colossians, which is why he's writing to the Colossians. Okay, this city was located in a valley. It's in present-day Turkey, called the Lycus Valley. The Lycus River ran through it. And that's a picture of something, what it might have looked like. That is not snow. Okay, that is sedimentary rock buildup called travertine. Yes, that's what they make your kitchen tiles out of. Ooh, I got better response from the first ever. It's not that it's a competition. So there were three cities in this valley that were situated, I don't know how long it would take to drive, but back then it was about a day's walk. So pretty close. Three cities, Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea. Okay, and they're all three mentioned in the New Testament. The church in Colossae was not founded by Paul. So Paul's writing a letter to a church he has not founded. It was founded by a guy named Epaphras. Now, if that name rings a bell, it's probably because you read the New Testament. His name is in there a couple of times. So here's a letter, and Paul acknowledges Epaphras, this guy, in this letter. And the best sort of historical picture that I've come across that explains what's going on is Paul is actually writing from Ephesus, which is not that far away. And he's writing to sort of all the churches. So it says in Colossians, after you've read this letter, pass it around to the church in Laodicea and read the letter written to them. So he's writing to all these churches that he has not planted. There was a guy from Colossae, and he was a slave. His name was Onesimus, and he had run away from his master, which is not a good thing to do as long as you don't get caught, right? I mean, it's okay to do as long as you don't get caught, but he had found his way to Ephesus, came across Paul, became a follower of Jesus, and his master back in Colossae was a follower of Jesus. And so Paul writes the letter of Philemon to Philemon, his master, and says, "I'm sending him back, take him back, but don't treat him like a slave anymore. He is your brother." This is where the early Christian church was upending all the social values, because you don't do that. You don't treat slaves like family. You treat them like objects, utensils. And what's interesting is that Paul is here in Ephesus. Tradition tells us that the first bishop of Ephesus was Paul's protege, Timothy. And tradition tells us that the second bishop of Ephesus was Onesimus. He went from slave to brother to bishop. And that's the way the church operates, where there's opportunity for everyone. Now, the dating of this letter is about 60, it's pre-60 AD. And we know this, we're talking like less than 30 years after Jesus' death, because there was an earthquake in 60 that destroyed all three cities. And Colossae is kind of lost today. You can go see ruins of Laodicea and Hierapolis, but you can't, we don't know exactly where Colossae is, and it hasn't been excavated. And there's another interesting thing, at least I think it's interesting, is that Paul This is the theory. Paul wrote a letter to Laodicea, and he acknowledges this letter in the book of Colossae, and I think, and some scholars would agree with me, actually I would agree with those scholars, that the book of Ephesus, the book of Ephesians was written to the church in Laodicea. Well, that doesn't make sense, because Paul wrote it in Ephesus. Yeah, but the earliest manuscripts don't say to Ephesus, it says to the church in Laodicea. So we have both of those. Because when in the beginning of the letter to the Ephesians, Paul says, when I heard of your faith. Well, Paul planted that church. Why would he have heard of that faith? And so there's some interesting trivia. Why does it matter? Well, it matters because these three cities, they used to be part of the Phrygian Empire. Sounds cold. But they were taken over by the Roman Empire, and that valley was perfect for a thoroughfare, and they put a Roman road through. And those Roman roads, they knew how to build roads. Anybody hit a pothole this year yet? Oh, man, like what the heck? There's Rome built roads 2,000 years ago that are still in use today. And I think, you know, our motor road whatever crew can learn something from that. I don't know. But because it was a thoroughfare, you had all the traffic coming through, and they brought with them, everybody coming through brought their spiritual ideas, their philosophies, and it was like this massive, like, smorgasbord of spiritual options. And so here's one reason why this letter is valuable to us today, because that is our culture today. It isn't that Newmarket has a thoroughfare going through it, is that we all have access to the information highway, the World Wide Web. And I see this on people's social feeds. Oh, you got a little bit of Hinduism, a little bit of Buddhism, a little bit of Oprahism, and it's, everybody's got these ideas, and we're influenced by them, even if sometimes they're contradictory. And so part of Paul's letter here is he says there's one central focus that defines who you are, and that's Jesus. And we're going to read a portion in chapter 2 of Colossians. But the rest of that chapter, we're going to read a little bit at the beginning. The rest of the chapter talks about a whole bunch of specific things. There wasn't one problem this church was facing, and Paul's addressing that, like the letter to the Galatians. There's all these ideas, and Paul addresses them one by one by one by one, over and over and over, and he says the solution is Jesus. So this is how we're in a similar circumstance today. My wife, Michelle, loves plants. They don't love her because they die all the time. But she had a recent success. Her small group went to do an outreach at a local greenhouse, and she came home with this, I don't know what you call it, a tray, a planter, with three plants in it. That was in the summer, maybe? Spring? Two of them are still alive, batting 666 on that one. It's outstanding. So you see, there's plant, and then dead spot, right? And why do plants die? They die because they're not getting what they need. Nutrients in the soil, they got to be, you know, the roots have to go in, you need enough sunlight, water, and all of that stuff to stay alive. And we're kind of the same. We need the right input in our lives. We need the right food to stay alive. So Colossians 2, 6 to 10, it's a longer passage than I would normally do, but you'll find it on the screen so you can follow along. Paul says this, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus, the Messiah Jesus, as your Lord, that means your master, the one who makes the decisions in your life, he says you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking. This is all the stuff that the church in Colossae was being inundated with along that highway. All these empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. And they come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ, from Jesus. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in the human body, so you are also complete through your union with Christ. This is not something that we normally think about. You are complete in Jesus. You don't have something missing. In Jesus, you're complete. The Messiah, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Given all the competing messages in our culture and that come to us through our smartphones and our computers, you need to be rooted in him. And I'm going to give you some reasons, okay? I got to move fairly quickly here so that I don't... Normally, I got like 2-3 pages. I got 4 today. So we'll be done before 1. Promise you. The first reason is so you don't dry up. You ever find that you get home from work or you've had a rough week and you just feel empty? And you can distract yourself with a little bit of Netflix, but that doesn't fill you up. It doesn't make you stronger. Colossians 1:17 says, He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. Talking about Jesus. He holds all things together. There's a parallel in Hebrews 1, verse 3. It says, He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. Different translation would say, by His word. By His words. What He says. And so get that. He sustains everything. There's a derivative of the word sustain, and that word is sustenance, which is a very fancy word for food. It's a simple concept. God's word is our spiritual food. And we have we have the written words here in our Bibles, whether it's whatever, you know, digital or paper. But through those written words, He speaks to us His spoken word. It's our food. Imagine if I was hungry one day and I said, you know, a little bit of Doritos, a little bit of Coke, I'm good. And then tomorrow, I'm hungry, a little bit of Doritos, a little bit of Coke. How long would it last before I was like really in trouble? Probably wouldn't take that long. And some of us, we go week to week. I'm gonna show up every second, third week and get a brilliant 25-minute message because Fred's gonna speak. And I don't have to eat till next Sunday or the Sunday after. Maybe I'll pick up the odd, you know, Facebook post that might have a bit of a scripture on there somewhere. And our diets are deplorable. And we wonder why we're withering. Wonder why we're drying up. God has food for us. And you know what's funny? Because here's a little bit of an off topic. God gives spiritual gifts to us. And to varying degrees, we're aware of that. And we'll do a sermon series on that sometime soon. And Brenda shared something this morning that was not planned. I didn't ask her to. She came up and said, God is giving me a message. She wasn't in the first service, didn't hear the message. And yet, what she said is exactly that. We sit at His feet every day, and we take in the words that He has for us. That's our sustenance. That's our food. When we eat, when we ingest His words to us, we gain victory over temptation. We're tempted to a lot of things from our inward desires that can lead to our destruction, but we gain victory over that by ingesting His words. Colossians 3:5-7 says, Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. Why? Because those things destroy us. Paul talks over and over in this book and in other of his letters, he talks about taking off, like clothing, the old you and putting on the new you. And it's a whole different set of behaviors. It's a whole different set of values and attitudes. And that's hard to do without the words of God informing how we do that. Third one, we grow in character. We grow in character, we grow in strength. Colossians 1:11 says, We also pray that you will be strengthened with all of His glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. Last week in our message about prayer, we talked about our cultural default to pray for our obstacles to be removed rather than to grow in strength. We need to grow stronger, and we can't do that without that diet. And finally, this is how we have fellowship with God. God communicates to us His spoken word through His written word. Now, God doesn't, sometimes He communicates outside of His written word. Yeah, that happens. But we can be deceived into hearing the wrong voice if we don't have something to measure it up to. When we take in God's words regularly, it gives us the capability to discern deception and avoid it. And that's hard to do if you're not reading Scripture regularly. Colossians 1:21-22 says, You were His enemies, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions, yet now He has reconciled you to Himself. God has reconciled us to Him through the death of Christ in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you into His own presence. You are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. We have relationship with God. And in the taking in of Scripture, that communion, that communication happens back and forth. So how do we put down those roots? Last week we talked about prayer. Prayer is, you know, communicating with God back and forth. But that's partnered with the words of Scripture when God speaks to us. Scripture says in at least two different spots in the New Testament, he says, crave the words that God has for you. Crave them. How do you make yourself crave something? How do you make yourself crave something? I don't know. I don't think I grew up with a natural desire to read the Bible. You can crave something by taking it in, right? Like I started reducing the sugar in my diet. And didn't used to be a coffee drinker. And my access drug for coffee was Tim Hortons French Vanilla Cappuccino. Okay, very, very sweet. And I graduated from that to real coffee. I was drinking it Double Double. When I started reducing sugar, I went to a single sugar. And Double Double is way too sweet for me now, because I'm not addicted to it to the same extent. I don't crave it. Now, it's easy to become re-addicted, especially over Christmas, right? But when you reduce it, you don't have the same need. You can increase your craving for Scripture by taking in more of it, by starting to depend on that nutrition. And you go, yeah, I need more and I need more. You know, sometimes it feels like we talk about this a lot at Crossroads. Like, oh, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. And, oh, why do we talk about this all the time? Because I want you to be strong. I don't want you to be weak. The church, Crossroads Church, is not supposed to be 3 or 4 or 5 strong people. It's supposed to be everybody growing in strength. That's what the big deal is with reading the Bible. Here's what it can look like, and I'm not going to communicate this to you because I'm sort of some paragon of virtue or spiritual discipline or whatever, but I had this experience. I don't have these experiences all the time. I had this experience about a week ago. Don't remember exactly when it was. When we had the prayer meeting Sunday night, and if you missed that, you missed a prayer meeting. It's the best one we ever had. And towards the end, there were messages that people shared that God had told them, and I think God spoke to everybody, but a few people were willing to share, and a few of them were something along the lines of God is doing something new. The sense that we need to be prepared for what God is going to do. But this is what happened in my own personal Bible reading. And every day I'll read a little portion from the Old Testament, a little portion from the New Testament. And I'm also doing another devotional on the side, which I do at work. And the devotional on the side was something about preparation, okay? Now, in my first thing, I'm a phone reader. So this is my alarm clock. I pick it up, turn off the alarm, and open my Bible up. I'm not saying you have to do it that way. I'm not saying I'm better than you or whatever. That's just what I do. And my Old Testament passage that day was about Joseph, who's sold into slavery by his own brothers, and he goes from slavery to prison, and things just get worse and worse and worse and worse. Okay, I've been to Sunday school. I know the end of the story. I know that God is preparing him for something bigger. This is what I'm thinking as I'm reading this. And I go to my New Testament passage, and Jesus is telling this parable about the 10 women who are getting married, and they have the oil with lamps, and 5 of them don't have enough oil because they're not prepared. This all happened on the same day. Well, that's a coincidence. Maybe I'm thick, and it takes God to tell me 4 times for me to get it, okay? But you can experience this too, that he speaks to us. The question is, sometimes are we listening? We have barriers to reading, and I know a lot of people think, oh, I can't do that. There's a few reasons. The first one is we don't have time. Last summer, we were doing This Is My Story, and I was interviewing Jessica Brickell. She also goes by Jessie, but her husband's Jesse too, so to alleviate confusion, it was the wife. And she was talking about how she had a friend who was a newer follower of Jesus, but she was like, she was doing her devotions all the time and exercises all the time, and she's got young kids. And Jessica said, and her friend is Stephanie, and she said, like, how do you do that? How do you do your devotions every day and exercise and you got your kids? And Stephanie said, well, I get up at 5:30. Well, I'm not saying it's easy, but that's pretty simple. You get up at 5:30, and she makes the time to do it because it's her priority. What we didn't know was the day that Jessica was telling this, doing This As My Story, Stephanie, I think it was that day or the day before, she went into the hospital, and she almost lost her life. And it's funny because I told this morning in the service, and I said, I'm going to try to get Stephanie to share her story this coming summer, and she was here, and that's when she first heard about it, but she was okay with that. But she went through that, through the difficult time, with strength, because every day she gets up at 5:30 and she's reading Scripture. She didn't fall apart. She didn't disintegrate. She had strength. And if it's a priority, you make it happen. That's it. Second thing is people don't do it because they said, well, it's too hard. I don't understand it. I don't know. I just don't understand it, and I leave it to the experts or whatever. I have friends that I went to Bible college or seminary with. I know people personally that will pick up a New Testament in Greek and read it. That's intimidating for me because, you know what? I never took a single class of Greek in Bible college. Martin Luther said every pastor should be able to be completely familiar with Hebrew and Greek, and I never took Greek. I hope that doesn't disqualify me from being your pastor. But I don't read it in Greek, I read it in English. And God still speaks. You don't have to be an expert, you don't need a seminary degree for God to speak to you when you read Scripture. Sometimes it's as simple, and I do recommend this. I recommend that when you read Scripture, you ask God to speak clearly to you. And that leads us to the third one. There are some people that I know somebody right now, and I've heard of other people, that when they open Scripture, the words are blurry. They can't read. They can read other things. They can read. But there's a spiritual barrier for them to be hearing and taking in what God has for them. And that's a spiritual thing. It's weird. And if you're experiencing that, you need to talk to a spiritual mentor, maybe one of the pastors, and then deal with that so that you can take in the life that God has for you. Because the enemy will do anything to you to keep you from ingesting the food that you need because he wants to keep you weak. So he'll tell you you don't have enough time. He'll tell you that you'll never understand it, and maybe he'll even do more than that to keep you from actually seeing it. I'm going to tell you something that I stole from a friend of mine on Facebook who's an Anglican priest. He posted this yesterday. I said, I'm going to steal that. And he said this. I don't know if it's a coincidence. Before that, no, I'll tell you after that. Okay, put up the YouVersion Bible one. That's the app that I use, and they have Bible plans really, really accessible. I'm not saying you have to do it that way. It's a great option. But this guy said this. He said, read the Bible for a certain amount of time each day, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. It's stress-free. You ever feel stressed about doing enough? And then he said, for step two, did you miss a day? Don't stress. You're not behind. There's no catching up. Just pick it again tomorrow. Voila, you're reading the Bible stress-free. You miss a day, pick it up again tomorrow. It's like, you know what, I forgot to eat yesterday. I guess I can't eat anymore. We don't say that. Pick it up again tomorrow. Now, maybe you're not a follower of Jesus and you're going, my life is dry. I don't have that fulfillment at all. You need to start with the relationship with God. God made you to have a relationship with him. And I want to give you an invitation to start today, to begin to let him grow you in that relationship, in that fellowship. As you heard over and over in the service this morning, Jenny said it and Brenda said it, God made you because he loves you. He made you to love you and live in relationship with him. And so it's as simple as ABC. A, admit your need for him. My life isn't good enough without you. B, believe that God has a better life for you. Believe that that's available. Relationship is available because Jesus came to make it available. That's what the death and resurrection is all about. And then C, commit your life to him. And if you're doing that today for the first time, I would ask that you would tell somebody. Tell somebody at the information desk or one of the pastors, or you can go to Cross and Sought Live and click the button that says follow Jesus. And we celebrate that here when people make that decision. Last week we had a green balloon on stage to celebrate somebody that made that decision. And this week we had somebody make that decision again, and now it's a red balloon. I complained to Claudette. Ever since we first do it, we do a balloon. Every week somebody decides to follow Jesus because we want to celebrate that. And when I imagined that from day one, it was always a red balloon, and we never had a red balloon. So this week we got a red balloon. And I'm less thrilled about the red balloon than about the person who said, I'm deciding to follow Jesus for the first time. It's 20 after. I have 4 text messages. Oh, okay, I'll do this one. Can you explain the balloon on stage? Yep. Perfect. Okay, you know what? Okay, this is worth doing. If I'm running over time and you want to leave, go ahead. No guilt. Nobody will even look. In case I'm not the only one wondering, what does the line "Leave the 99" refer to in the song this morning? Okay, that's a great, great question. Thank you for asking that. So there's a story that Jesus tells in the Bible and says, God loves you so much, he's like a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and he's willing to leave the 99 behind to go find the one that's lost. It's that simple. He loves you so much, he's willing to leave the 99 behind and go find the one that's lost. And if you're the one that's lost, he loves you that much. How many weeks is Alpha? She's gone. 13, I think. 12. There's an introductory week, and then it's 12 weeks. Your mobility e-bill is now available. Oh, yeah, that's different. Okay, let's stand. We're going to close the service in prayer. And some of you today, I'm going to challenge you to stay and pray and make a commitment to God. I'm going to commit to starting to read or to increase my reading. Some of you are doing well. You're doing fine. Keep doing what you're doing. But some of you are starving yourself. And when the service is done, we turn Theater One into a prayer room. And we always, we challenge everyone, you know, don't leave before you find somebody you've never met and have a meaningful conversation with them, not just hi-bye kind of thing. We just ask you to do that in the lobby so that people that are here in Theater One can do business with God. And God has so much for you. And yes, some of you just need to do business with him and make that commitment. Do you know that I started talking about that survey, and our mission is to engage with and introduce Jesus to all those people that have, they say, I don't identify with anything spiritual. I'm confused, I don't know, or I just reject that. And we reach those people not so that we can gain the majority once again. We reach them because they are that one sheep that God would leave the 99 for. He loves them, and he loves you the same, and he's calling us into the mission to further his kingdom. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much for your incredible love that you have for each one of us, and that you want us to be strong to partner with you. So, Father, I pray that you would give us the desire and the discipline to feed ourselves from the words that you have for us. Father, overcome the barriers that we have in our mind, the barriers that we have in our spirit, but that we would be encouraged and excited about eating daily the food that you have for us to make us strong. Ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.